Hey everybody, welcome to another First Round Bald Movies. This is a bonus podcast. My wife and I, Cecily, saw it tonight. You're kind of disappointed that we missed it because of... Why did we miss it?
You were in Chicago.
That's right, I had the bypass thing I had to go to. Because I really wanted to, and then it kind of chapped my ass that it blew up to be the biggest R-rated movie of like all time.
Of all time?
I think so. I think it overthrew Deadpool, right?
I don't know.
And it has kind of captured the public's imagination, so I saw it.
You saw it?
I saw it. I saw the deadlights or whatever the fuck it is.
Looked at it right in its deadlights?
So, first of all, let's do this like we always do, even though this is a highly irregular, unscheduled bald movie. Let's do spoiler-free thoughts, and then we'll do a spoiler section at the end. This is the second time you see the movie, because you didn't wait for me. You're like, fuck him. I'm going to go see it with my girlfriends.
No, I did try to podcast it the very night it came out, but we just got a little too busy, I guess. I liked it even more.
Yeah? So what was your thoughts? I guess, what was your thoughts coming out the movie the first time?
I didn't think it was as scary as I did the second time, but I don't know.
That's weird.
Why?
What's your relationship with it, the property?
I haven't read the books. I recently rewatched the miniseries.
Starring Tim Curry as Pennywise the Clown.
Exactly.
And
I like this
Harry from Night Court and a whole bunch of people that I don't quite remember. I think Webster's dad's in there.
Okay.
There's just a bunch of 80s and 90s stars. I saw that too. I've not read the book. I watched a little bit of that miniseries when you were watching it a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Man, it's terrible.
It's really bad.
I really like this. It didn't...
Controversial opinion.
Uh-huh.
I like this Pennywise better.
Yeah, this is Bill Skarsgård. This is
correct.
His brother Alexander.
The lesser Skarsgård.
The lesser Skarsgård. So this is not Eric the vampire.
Right.
This is his brother.
Correct.
Did a really good job. I didn't find Pennywise when he... That's the thing. Like, I don't find Pennywise that scary. Unless he's got like three mouths and you know he's doing his more demonic manifestations, I thought many of his other guises were much scarier.
Drooling when he's speaking, or like when his eye floats off somewhere, you don't think that's creepy?
I mean,
scary?
But that's the thing. Like, that's not inherent to him being a clown. Like, if I was talking,
so you're
to,
saying that you're just not afraid of clowns?
No, I'm not. And I feel like that a lot of that stuff just doesn't work on me. But I thought the psychological horror. I thought that this movie, which I'm assuming is the source material, because Stephen King does this well, he blends kind of like your garden variety horrors as a kid with some particular horrors of being a kid, with then a layer of supernatural that kind of heightens it all.
Right.
But like, you know, the feeling of being a new kid in town, the feeling of being like bullied, the feeling of what, you know, getting first period and having your father trying to molest you. Like, that stuff is as real things that like either kids have experienced or know of enough to be afraid of. And I feel like that's, you know, it works. The very opening of the movie, of course, is Georgie losing his boat down the drain. And that works because he's a little kid. And he's a really good, they got a really good performance out of this kid actor.
Right. I mean, I don't think that clowns are supposed to be scary.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're supposed to just entice little kids who aren't scared of clowns.
Mm-hmm.
And think they're fun and dancing and happy.
And lure them in and molest them.
Oh, well, I wouldn't go that far.
I don't want the Clown Association after me. The the CAOA
so
is
then
a powerful,
why would you
powerful,
say something like that?
Because I'm not afraid of them either.
Right.
But I kept on thinking like how much this is like Goonies, because it's got that, you know, like boys on the cusp of, you know, quote unquote manhood, and the same thing with the women, and they're the girls, and they're trying to figure things out, and they're navigating all these like new changing relationships. And it's just like if Goonies was a super, super scary version of itself, where one of the kids might actually get their arm torn off or murdered. That's what this felt like to me. And it's funny because like I feel like, what do you think would happen if you showed like a 12 or 11 or 12 year old this?
I don't know. I guess it depends on the kid.
I was just trying to get a more... I had this thought walking out the theater, like, you know who would really appreciate this kid, this movie?
Who?
Like, those, like prepubescent kids. But it like also would
probably... Probably.
Yeah, like, but aren't they a little old? Like, how old do you think these kids were? Like,
they're
I was thinking,
13.
Like, oh, really?
For
okay.
Fact, they're all 13.
All right, well, then, yeah. If you got a 13-year-old boy or girl, show them this movie.
I don't think you should do that.
No? Why not?
Because it's scary.
Yeah, but if they I feel like it's got a very empowered message at the end. Like, yes, you will feel fear, just like these kids do, but it'll be okay.
I don't know. I've got some particular gripes that I'm going to saving for the spoiler section.
Okay.
About right. How empowering it really is.
Oh, all right. Well, do you have any other non-spoiler observations?
Not really.
Okay. Do you want to talk about... well, no, I guess that would be a spoiler section. Do you want to talk about any trailers that we saw?
Blade Runner 2049.
Blade Runner looks really good.
It looks
and then
hot.
We're only 2 weeks away from seeing it.
2 weeks?
Yeah. Like two, well, it'll be
and
1 week this Thursday night.
Movie?
It'll be a bald movie. It'll be a bald movie. It's the first November, I think, October bald movie.
Right on.
So I'm excited about that. That trailer looked really cool.
Saw another one for Flatliners.
Fucking Flatliners. I don't give a shit about that.
Really? You're not interested in that movie?
Not at all. Not at all. It looks real dumb. Looks real dumb. Totally not interested in it. Okay. There was Bad Moms Christmas, which doesn't look great. There's another. What was the horror film? Polaroid.
Polaroid.
I don't like. I didn't think.
There
I thought
was
Polaroid
another horror movie called Happy Death Day.
Happy Death Day was interesting because Happy Death Day appears to be like a horror version of Groundhog's Day,
right? Or Final Destination.
Oh yeah. That'd be a better mix-up, a better mashup.
Yeah.
But yeah, like this woman's living this day where she gets murdered by this weird
her
guy.
Her birthday,
where she gets murdered by this dude in a Cupid doll mask, and she has to solve her own murder.
I guess.
Yeah, but there's a lot of the like beat for beat Groundhog Day moments where she convinces someone that it's actually her Groundhog Day by saying, "Oh, look, here
accurately
goes."
Accurately predicting events and
yeah.
I'm surprised at how many of these scary movies are coming out in December. I always figured that October is when they loaded you up on horror movies.
I wonder if it's counter programming because they're, you know, like. There's people that are either really into Christmas or they're very ambivalent about Christmas. And like, if you're ambivalent about Christmas, seeing a horror movie during that season must feel pretty transgressive and satisfying. It's like
not if you're ambivalent. If you're against it, maybe.
Well, I mean, I feel like there's no fence sitters. You either love Christmas or you kind of hate it. There's people that just kind of like go through and just kind of coast along.
Okay.
I think they're pro Christmas though.
I don't know.
This is my theory. You want to shoot it full of holes, and you can just, you know, we can just go fucking into the spoiler section.
Take an air gun and just shoot it all through full of holes.
Again, wait till the spoiler section. Anything, any other trailers, or should we just go get to the spoiler section?
Just do it.
Okay. Well, this is the point where people who are not club members have to take off because Seth and I are going to get spoilery. It's only for club members. Go to club.baldmove.com. You can join today. Get a free 30-day trial. This is one of the mini features. Check it out, club.baldmove.com. All right, we're in a spoiler section. Do you want to do specific non-spoilery praise, or do you want to do your gripes first?
I guess do praise.
Okay.
Because that seems like a shitty thing to do.
Uh-huh. So it seems like it's a natural way, though. You want to get all your bitches out before you do your praising.
I don't know. Not for me.
Okay.
I think this Pennywise is much better, mostly because of like the magic of cinema these days.
You can
do so many more things. Where Tim Curry, you had to like jump, smash cut to him wearing a big prosthetic with a bunch of scary teeth in his face. And
right.
It didn't look right.
And
I think Tim Curry was particularly that scary.
And not only was it limited by the technology at the time, it was a network television show thing, too. It wasn't like a big budget, you know, New Line type of Freddy Krueger cinema. It was...
That's true. There was no blood in it.
And they couldn't do... And like, not only that was the special effects holding them back, but they just couldn't go as disturbing as they needed to with the content either because
right.
It was, again, network television.
So do you want to talk about the kid orgy first?
I was promised a kid orgy.
Was it as sexy as you imagined?
It left a lot to my imagination because it didn't exist. I was shocked when I had no idea this was a part of the books, but there was this big thread on r/movies about, you know, people that are reading the book because they're inspired by the movie, and they're like, what the fuck? At the end, it's like spoilers for the book. So I guess we're going to talk about that now. But at the end of the book, they get lost in the tunnels, and Bev has this idea that...
No, in the middle of the book. The book is
okay,
them being kids, and then it transitions into them being adults.
At the end of the childhood
portion
of the book.
Metaphor for them transitioning into...
Coming of age, literally.
Into adulthood. Beverly has sex with each and every one of the boys, and then they're able to find their way out.
Mm-hmm.
And there are like 11 in the book.
Yeah. I can see why that's not in the film. What I'm shocked is I guess if what would Stephen King say? Stephen King would probably say this is a metaphor about people coming to age, and this is a metaphor about kids turning into adults and putting themselves out of the power of something like a Pennywise. And I guess that sounds all good and abstract, but I read that scene because it was quoted verbatim on Reddit,
mm-hmm.
and boy howdy, does it go on, and is it graphic? Some might say unrealistic depiction of a kid orgy.
You know what Stephen King actually said about that?
Okay.
Was that he's amazed at how many people are upset about a kid orgy and aren't upset about, you know, all this gore and violence and a monster eating children alive. Nobody's up in arms about that, but if some kids start having sex, people start freaking out.
It's not.
And I'm not defending it. I'm just saying that's what he said.
Well, here's why I think he's tone deaf. If he spent 6.5 pages going into loving detail of Pennywise consuming Georgie, then I think people would probably be rightfully, their stomach is churned. And it's
read all of the book?
No, I haven't. But I almost guarantee he doesn't spend 6.5 pages describing the devouring of Georgie. So,
It's 1,000-something pages. Are you sure?
No, I mean, I'm just saying, do you have certain knowledge?
No.
Okay, then stop fucking with me. I think that's why people are just like, first of all, it's one is a kind of a normalized thing, putting children in danger in this country. So, one is something that's not normalized. And I think it's fair to ask, what purpose does it serve? The other thing is what kind of issues is Stephen King trying to work out of his own life and his own knowledge when he's writing these books?
I don't know.
It's weird.
We don't need to talk about that. It's not even in the movie. I don't know.
It just seems disingenuous for Stephen King to act like he doesn't understand why people are kind of like creeped out by it.
But there is going to be a second movie,
mm-hmm.
which will be, I assume, them as adults coming back to fight it one more time.
Mm-hmm.
How would you feel if they alluded to the orgy happening as adults in their memories, but you don't ever see it happen?
I don't like it because I feel like the ultimate rebuke of that scene is how unnecessary it was on this movie. You didn't feel like the fact that the kids came together and were brave and not afraid and loved and accepted each other for who they all were is what I felt like defeated the monster. So I think that this orgy scene was probably I don't know. I haven't read the book. I hate commenting on shit that I haven't read, but
I'm just asking you.
No, I don't. I wouldn't like it. I would think that it was super unnecessary because there's nothing in this movie that hinted that happened. And I don't, like I said, it would be interjecting a completely unnecessary element into the story.
Okay.
Maybe it's necessary for the books. I don't know. You've seen the miniseries more than more recently, and you saw it as an adult. I saw it as, I think, a teenager. So, maybe there is something to the group dynamic that is informed by them all having, being Peter's in law, but...
Oh, what I think is painful about this movie is what a accessory they made Beverly, despite the fact that her vagina was not a gateway to adulthood.
Okay.
Without that even being there, they rewrote the script after they took it away from, what's his name, Cary Fukunaga?
Oh, okay.
He wrote the original draft, and then they rewrote it.
I didn't know that they rewrote it.
Yeah, they rewrote it so that she was the damsel in distress. She went from almost, well, from saving herself from being preyed upon by her father to being the damsel in distress that they all had to save.
Well, she did save herself from her father.
But then she was taken immediately.
Yeah.
So that was
no,
taken,
that's bullshit.
That was taken
I actually thought that had to be how the book went down, or how in the hell can you tell that story in 2017?
Yeah, or, you know, she just serves as, like, the object of all the other boys' affections, really. Uh-huh. I don't know. In the original draft, she led the charge into the caverns, and she was, you know, the first one to jump. And
when wait, are you talking about at the end? Because that I was about to say that would make perfect sense, because they established that trait about her. She was the first one to jump off the cliff.
Exactly, and they took that away from her.
Oh, they fucked up their own script.
They did.
Why? Has there been any commentary about that?
I mean, just people saying that.
I mean, that's so lazy and tropey that, like, oh, all the boys are mad at each other, but, oh, Bev's been taken down the hole, we gotta go get her.
I mean, it's fine to be infatuated with a girl when you're, you know...
Yeah, that part doesn't bother me as much.
Right.
That felt very, like, them all male-gazing at her body.
And even...
That all felt probably legit.
And even, like, her flirting with the adult pharmacist mm-hmm. at the pharmacy mm-hmm. so that he'll be distracted while mm-hmm. the boys sneak away with things. I mean, yeah. It's creepy. It's gross. She's just a sexual object throughout the entire movie and not so much a developed character herself.
Yeah. No, I thought that was the same. Like, you know, there was a Saturday Night Live skit with Louis C.K. where he was the creepy 50s
the milkshake tender
bartender, yeah, like, and that went in an interesting direction at the end of it, but, like, yeah, they just played that straight. Like, if I was a pharmacist and I had a 13 year old girl coming on that,
buying tampons, so you know she's of
yeah,
sexual
doing
maturity
all that, doing all that flirty shit, like, it would be I wouldn't be like, ho ho ho. It would be uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, very uncomfortable. I'd especially if I knew what a creeper father was, I'd put two and two together and call CPS and be
well,
like,
seems like everyone knows everything. Everyone, you know, knows that she's being preyed upon by her father, so they all decide in unison to call her a whore. The police officer's son is psychotic and, like, chasing all of the kids around town. I mean, how far would he have gone with Ben?
Pretty fucking far.
He
that was scary.
Carved his entire name into his stomach.
Yeah,
like, disregard the consequences.
I mean,
that
he's about to shoot a kid. I mean, that's another Stephen King trope. This, like, the fact that, like, underneath this idyllic small town life, there's a secret horror, and it's you know, partially supernatural, but also there's just a bunch of bad seeds here.
Exactly. Like, these adults are willing to let their kids be preyed upon so that they can just turn a blind eye.
Like, all of the parents that we met were a piece of work.
And the librarians and the teachers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, who was it Stan's mom? The one that was the
hypochondriac?
Yeah.
Eddie.
Eddie's mom. Like, at the very least, she's got a little bit of, you know, the Sissy Spacek, Carrie kind of mom in her. Or, like, Kathy Bates' Misery kind of mom in her.
Right.
If this kid doesn't get away from her, he's going to wake up chained to his bed with, like, a log between his legs, and she's going to have a sledgehammer because you just can't, you're just not well enough. You're not well enough to walk, Eddie.
Right.
Yeah, that was all. And again, that's the other thing that's, like, the essential creepy thing about a child is that they're completely dependent upon their parents for, you know, protection and supports and sustenance. And if your parent is got a screw loose, that's going to be a bad time for you.
What did you think the most shocking scene to you in the movie was?
Because
I've got a couple, and they're all ties. Want to hear mine first?
Yeah, go for it.
Every time those goddamn kids left their bikes in the middle of the street.
They threw their bikes in the street the way Don Draper throws a can
in a
state park river. Yeah, beer can. You're right. Like, what the fuck? Like, it's not even about just throwing them down. It's about, like, just throwing them in the middle of the fucking street.
Right.
I guess adults are not going to run over their bikes because it seems like it'd do as much damage to your car as it would their bikes, but still, irresponsible.
Exactly.
Irresponsible kids.
And also, there's a lot of wasted lamb meat on Mike's half.
Was that their like? Was that like the entrails that he was throwing like lungs and shit that no one will ever eat?
What do you mean?
Well, he was taking like parcels of meat and throwing it away, and then like weren't they like making him eat this stuff that he was like, and it looked like it, they were.
No, they weren't. He wasn't throwing anything away. He was
the first time when he saw that the old ironwork store that was like, you know,
where the hands were coming out.
Yeah. I thought he was throwing away meat.
No, that was the butcher shop. He was delivering the meat.
Oh.
Yeah,
okay.
He was delivering all of the different. So what they were
when the boys were making him eat that,
it was like
I thought, lamb leg. Oh, okay. I thought
there
were like lungs and like different viscera and stuff. Thought it was weird that they were packaging that up. But,
right.
Okay. Well, that makes sense now.
So yeah, when they were like shoving his face in it, there's a whole basket of meat. That's the scariest thing of all. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Imagine what your parents would have done to you if you had wasted an entire, I don't know. Is that a day's worth of work? Is that a week?
I don't know. I would tell him. I would tell him this fucker Eddie did it and like light his ass up, like you know.
Henry. Henry Bowers.
Boy, Henry. So all things involving Henry were disturbing because he just seemed like a bad seed that even his other bad seed kids like a psychotic Draco and Malfoy, or better that like he was a psychotic version of Kevin Bacon in Footloose.
Like if he just refused to dance and he was the one stopping
everyone
from
dancing.
Yeah,
and his dad was burning him with paper clip swastikas and stuff. Like, that's what he would have turned out to be. But I also thought the scene with Beth in the bathroom where all that bloody hair came out and lassoed her and, like, force fled, like, you know, that mountain of, like, just this geyser of coagulated blood and her mouth is open.
Yeah, her mouth was wide open. The blood went right in.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, that was hard. That was hard to watch. I think that was probably the most disturbing, although I also found it very disturbing when Georgie got his arm peeled off.
Yeah,
that
I was
kid
not
just, like, crying
that.
And bleeding in the street. And I, like,
and
they
I found the cutest little
they
Georgie,
They sure
too.
Did. They sure did. It made me sick knowing it was coming.
Yeah.
And then just sticking with, I thought they would like, you know, chop his arm off, you hear the kid scream, and then that would be it. But they act stuck with it for a while, so you could really feel his like fear and terror. I don't like that so much. I didn't like so much. I'm trying to think of the kids that had the scary fantasies. Like all of them I thought were scary. They're Pennywise, like the flute girl. Pretty scary in like a Varric kind of way from Conjuring 2.
Yeah.
I thought the burnt hands were pretty creepy. I thought the leper that was chasing after Eddie
leper
was
gross,
pretty bad.
With, like its gaping nose hole that was breathing.
Yeah. Like the kids tormented by the. You know what? Also, when they're chasing Ben down the library, that headless on fire kid was pretty bad too. And I like some of the visual, kind of like the subtle things, like when the kid, he was flipping the book compulsively and it kept zooming in on that one kid's head that was stuck in the tree.
Yeah.
And then they saw like there's a etching of Pennywise in the town charter, wood carving. Like there's a lot of really subtle spooky things.
Some of those old pictures, you could see the Pennywise, the dancing clown cart.
Yeah.
That you see at the very end.
Right.
Was in there.
Right. Mostly have a lot of questions over the nature of it. The fact that, like, and I, maybe these are, just, like, why does this happen every 27 years? What kind of creature is it? Is it? It seems like it's maybe some kind of Lovecraftian horror. Like, its true nature is unfathomable.
Right. I don't think it has, I don't know what its true form is.
I know that
at its core, it is the Deadlights.
Hmm.
And I don't know if...
Because that's a Stephen King thing, right? Like, I was about to say that he doesn't have lore. He's not real strong on lore, like backstories and explanations. And that's not – there is a tremendous amount of Stephen King lore that connects the universes together and kind of – he has these Randall Flagg characters and satanic characters kind of run throughout his works. But you know what I mean? Like, there's not – if you want to know the nature of these things and, like, want to know more about it, go to Wikipedia and read about the Deadlights. It doesn't seem like there's a lot. And I don't know that it matters. Maybe it's scarier that way.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. I mean, because I think that it exists as the Deadlights, but or some sort of like alien being. I would believe that first, but I think it just sort of manifests as what's scariest to you or what will attract. you but to it.
Is it like an alien force? Is it like an ancient god?
I thought it was an alien. Okay. But I don't know. I can't tell you.
Yeah. So that's the thing. Like, I want to know more about this. How long do you think we'll have to wait for the second one? Do you think they'll film it and turn around in a year? Do you think they'll take 2 years to do it?
That I can't say either.
Have you heard anything?
I haven't. I just know that they confirmed there is a second movie that's going to happen.
Right. I mean, as soon as I saw book one, like, I'm like, oh, well, of course they'll do another one because it's there. Because I was kind of worried halfway through the film. I'm like, holy shit, are they going to? I thought that this was the entire thing. The kids and the adults and one of my like, how right. What are they going to do?
Like, you really leaned over when it got to about the climax and you're like, is this just about the kids?
Yeah, I did. I heard that this is a slightly longer than average movie, but I'm like, still, there's not enough time to do the other part justice. And then like, okay, well, yeah, it makes perfect sense to make it into two movies. What else we want to talk about?
I mean, you're right. At the same time, I don't know that they have enough material to make the same length kind of second part.
Well, because that's on our way home, I'm like, here's what I don't get about it. It feels like they did the hard part. As kids, they face their fears and beat this thing's ass. Like, I feel like the version I'm expecting of It Chapter 2 is the adults coming back with like lead pipes and like it is this mewling, scared thing, and they're like, fucker, we told you to stay out of our town, and they just go to work on him. It's just going to be 2 hours of these grown ass people that have gone through this extremely terrified experience of a child, know exactly how to hurt him most, and they're just going to beat the psychic shit out of him.
Okay. How do you feel about...
Maybe they have children? Or do they themselves have children that it's... Okay.
How do you feel about grown-up orgy? Okay.
I am very curious to see, because, like, here's the thing. Like, casting these kids is pretty amazing, because I think they did a very good job. They're all very recognizable. They had all their own, like, things going on in their life, and they're all great. And, like, the kid, like, Mike from Stranger Things was amazing. I was really impressed with Beverly. But now that they've cast these very particular kids, like, casting the adults is going to be a lot harder.
I like Amy Adams as an adult Beverly.
Do you? No.
I don't know. Okay. She's just a redhead with blue eyes.
I bet this is all – maybe they did all this casting in, like, combination.
I don't know. How about in the second movie, they sit in front of a fireplace and sing, like, a traditional elf song?
An elf song?
Dwarf song.
A dwarf song?
Yeah.
For why?
Just to kind of pad it out.
Just to kind of, you're talking about like the Hobbit reference. Okay. Yeah, I could get with that. Maybe they take like a long barrel ride, like with GoPros strapped to them through the sewers.
Like ride shields downstairs.
Yeah. I could see that happening. I could totally see that happening.
Those are really unnecessary things that could definitely give me my money's worth.
And then Pennywise, that he's called the Goblin King and the Balrog.
Ooh.
And it's going to have just like a 35-minute CGI special effects sequence.
I'm excited.
Yeah. They're going to cast Ian McKellen as the older Billy.
aged up a little bit, but...
Yeah. Well, you know, you're staring in those deadlights, man. It takes it out of you.
It does.
Takes it out of you.
Do you think Henry Bowers is dead? He seems super dead, right?
He seems super dead, but I know from the old series that for a fact he comes back. And
we don't know for a fact this time.
Yeah, because like to me, throwing him down that fucking well, which I understand has not happened in the books or the miniseries, is maybe they're saying, this ain't your father's it. Like, there's going to be a whole other deal with the new it where maybe that would be kind of interesting if they take more liberties with it, too.
I also think that it's possible that he could take possession of Henry's body. So maybe he is dead once he leaves possession of the body.
Mm-hmm. See, I thought that was maybe how until they threw him down the well, I was thinking like maybe that'll be how it part two goes, is that Pennywise knows that he doesn't have as much power over these adults, but he can work through, he can seduce and corrupt the minds of other living people, and that will be his, instead of all the, like, relying on fear, he'll have, like, a human army that he mobilizes against them.
Right, because if not, it seems like a really unnecessary distraction.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean?
At
the Henry guy?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Why did he have to kill his dad? I maybe understand that.
Yeah.
Why did he have to? He came down there so he could stop the kids from going down the well.
Right. Because Pennywise was already afraid at that point.
Right. But he was there already when the kids pulled up. So mm-hmm. he waited until most of the kids were already down in the well to come and stop them.
Yeah.
And he attacks Mike, and
that's the problem.
It doesn't last very long. It didn't stop Mike from going down there.
No,
Henry just
Mike
got his
ass
kicked
yeah.
by the sides of the well.
Right.
I don't know. I just didn't think it had a purpose unless it means something later.
Yeah.
Or if we had seen him later in the movie, like.
If they want to bring him back, that was just a, like, I don't believe, like, the only way I believe him coming back is if he literally is a corpse, an animated corpse, because I don't think a 16-year-old can survive being thrown down that well head
first.
That
was brutal. And why would you even need an animated corpse when you can just, like, make paintings come to life? And,
right.
You know what I mean?
Well, but the key thing is none of that shit was real. So I feel like that's Pennywise's weakness, is that he can make you see really crazy shit, but none of it can actually hurt you unless you give it that power.
That's true, but Eddie did get his arm broken by falling into the kitchen.
Yeah.
It didn't break his arm.
Right.
So it seems like if you make someone see something, then you can
Sure. You can manipulate them into doing your dirty work for you.
Right.
Which begs the question of, like, how he ripped off Georgie's arm.
He bit it off.
Yeah, but if it's not real.
No, he's real.
He's real.
It is real.
But, like, what, I mean, but it can change shapes and sizes. And like there's got to be, like, I mean, I understand the truth of what you're saying, but it does seem a contradiction that, like, oh, so his body is real, but to what extent is it real, you know?
I think it's all real.
Huh. Okay.
What?
Because I don't think he actually bit Georgie's arm off. I think Georgie thought he bit his arm off, and he took him down to his underground realm and then psychically tortured him until he was all spent up and then killed him.
No. When they're in the bottom of the well and you can see all the kids floating, uh-huh. you can also see, like, body parts too.
Yeah.
Like
But is that real?
One of the kids
one
of the kids' arms they found uh-huh. had, like, bite marks all over it.
Okay, yeah, that's right. They did say that.
I mean, when he opens his mouth, like, unhinges his jaw and, like, rolls his eyes back and you see the deadlights and all the teeth,
right.
I think that's its truest form.
Hmm. You see what
I
I'm
think
saying?
His outward appearance can appear
because
friendly.
When I saw the children floating there, I took that as, like, this is also not real. Like, if the Department of Public Works guys come down, hey, there's a clog down here. Like, holy shit, look at all these children floating. Like, I don't think they would see that.
I think it's all definitely real.
Really?
I think it's the mentality of the townsfolk to sort of look away.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying Pennywise better have a minor in plumbing, because if there's any, if he ever fucking clogs up the main artery of town with a bunch of child body parts, they're going to have people coming down there and fixing shit.
And he'll make some sort of hallucination happen and they'll wander away.
Yeah. Okay. Just because he's like a fucking vampire. He's glamorous.
I mean,
everything.
he's just like a marionette puppet over this town.
Yeah.
Except that they're all afraid of him, so he's getting away with it. These kids aren't afraid.
It also
so.
Seems a little, like, I'm glad, I guess they set it in the 80s, and I guess it was set in the, like, he, you know, it was set significantly older back then. But, you know, it seems funny that you've got a town that has six times the higher disappearance rate amongst children in this small.
No, that's just the adults. The children
are
worse.
Even worse. And,
much worse.
and like, it's that bad, and nobody has ever, like, this has never been a Barbara Walters focus. This has never been a current events focus. This has never been, no investigative journalist has ever taken a poke at, or taken a run at, like, connecting all these dots.
Maybe they have.
Or maybe, again, that's the thing. Is like, you could always just say, well, it's Pennywise. He's just, like you said, the evil marionette behind the town. And he's like, yeah, I mean, that's, I guess that's pretty airtight.
Is that something you're interested in seeing?
You know me.
The case being blown wide open
by
Barbara
Walters. I just like knowing how these things work mechanically. Mostly because it's satisfying to me, but also I do think that when you can have when you've got a magical system or supernatural system where anything can happen, and it's like and you're building the narrative around that, it seems like it leads to sloppier writing if you don't establish those rules.
And it also only happens every 27 years.
Yeah. So what?
So every 27 years, there's a rash of disappearances, and someone comes to investigate, and it's over.
I'm just saying,
there's one.
Ben figured this out, and he's a 12-year-old, you know, who just had time on his hands.
Right.
But yeah, it was surprise. It was not the scariest movie I saw, but did have some genuine scares. It did have me tense almost throughout the whole thing. Love the kids. Can't wait to see what they do with the adult version.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's the thing. Like, I could very easily see the adult version being a letdown just because it's fundamentally not as interesting as the kids. Like, I'm expecting the adults to, like, have their shit a lot more together, and I'm very curious to see how they're going to kind of reset the clock although they did seem like they were maybe laying some of that track work where Bev was saying as they were coming out of the tunnels, like, I barely can remember, you know, like, she was acting like her experience there at Pennywise was, like, already kind of receding into a dream kind of thing, like, whether...
She was saying she had a vision of the future and then getting together and fighting the monster again.
Hmm.
I don't remember her saying...
I thought she said something about her memory of it was getting far. It was hard to remember exactly. And I wonder if that's going to be a thing. Does like 27 years pass and like how much, like, will these adults even believe that it's still a threat? And,
right.
You know, what kind of adults do they become? And are, you know, do they have these deep seated fears that have still come with, I don't know. We'll see. But I could see, since this kind of caught lightning in a bottle and captured his imagination, that people can sit down and see part two. And it's just going to be, you know, it's the return of the Jedi to This Is A New Hope. And, well, we're defeating the Death Star again, but it's fundamentally less interesting than the first time you did it.
Okay. It's a reference I'm going to let you just go with.
Oh, come on. You're going to say you don't understand the Star Wars. They blew up the Death Star, and Return of the Jedi, they blew up the bigger, less complete Death Star.
Yes.
That was the reference I was making.
Okay.
You've seen Star Wars, yeah?
I don't know. My memory is kind of receding.
Shut up. Why are you doing this to me? All right. Any other last words?
Should we meet again here in 27 years?
If
It Part 2?
If the It podcast ever shows its ugly head again, yeah, we should be here in 27 years to put it to bed.
I cut my hand. Let's shake on it.
Okay. I was going to go with spit, but I guess we're going to do like this Blood Brothers thing. All right, we'll be back. Actually, later this week, we'll have another first-run Bald Movies, American Made, the Tom Cruise DEA narco
I'm sorry to airline report pilot. That I will not be here for that.
No, we'll have to make do with the OG lineup of Aaron and Jim. But you will be back for the American Horror Story podcast.
Yes.
If we're lucky.
If we're lucky.
Well, until then, I'm Aaron.
And I'm Cecily.
See ya.